Welcome to Chaos to Control, the podcast that's dedicated to helping you navigate that ever-changing landscape of business and remote work. Hello, I'm Tiqua Scarborough, your host, CEO of Power Pro Assistance. Joining me are my lovely co-hosts, fellow Chaos coordinators, and team members, Casey, our Director of Operations, and Cora, our Operations Manager. In each episode, we blend insightful strategies with a conversational touch to empower you to adapt, pivot, and thrive amidst the chaos of today's work environment. Whether you're a small business owner, a CEO, or someone looking to make the most of remote work, this podcast is your go-to resource. Anticipate the unexpected, even prepare for it, as we delve into success stories, case studies, and actionable insights that you can apply to your own business. We're here to equip you with the knowledge and the tools you need to stay ahead in today's dynamic business world. So whether you're tuning in during your commute or your well-deserved coffee break, thank you for choosing Chaos to Control as your source of inspiration and education. Let's get started on this journey from chaos to control, one strategy at a time. Well, welcome back to episode 3. I can't believe that we are on number 3. We are so excited. So I am Tiqua Scarborough, and we have here our co-host, Casey Almeida. Today, Cora could not make this recording, but we send our love to her. We love you, Cora. As we move along in this episode, I'm going to ask you, are you managing your business solo, feeling overwhelmed with tasks, wondering where to start when it comes to delegation? We're going to discuss the key areas where you might need assistance and how to effectively set up for delegation.
So this quarter's theme has been talking about the importance of delegation. In the last episode, we focused on transforming hesitation into delegation success, where we talked about releasing control and how it helps you actually gain control. In this episode, our focus is on your path to delegation success and taking action, how you can take that action when navigating your business solo. So we're going to go over the step-by-step guidance for effective delegation and hope that that helps you take some action today.
Yes. Now we're just going to go into step number one. And we talked about this on our last two episodes, which is the first episode was transforming from hesitation to delegation success. And the second episode was unlocking success through delegation. If you have not heard any of those podcasts, please go back and listen to those podcasts and then come back and take the step-by-step guidance and through working through your effective delegation. So let's talk about that task audit. Casey, we love our time audit assistance. We have used it for ourselves and some of our clients have used it as well. This is one of the tools that we do ask some of our clients that come to us and don't know what to delegate, and we send them the task audit assistant. So when we talk about setting time aside to list out all your current tasks, whether it's big or small, now this is something that you should be dedicating time to do, because you're going to still be stuck in the rut if you don't take the time out to do that. We always say that if you don't put the work in, you're not going to get the results. If you put the work in, you're definitely going to get the results. And sometimes it may be a slow movement, it may be a fast movement, but it all depends on the time that you put into it as well. The second thing is that once you put in a list of your current tasks, you're going to categorize that task based on their importance and urgency. So that is where the organization comes in, where it's like, what is important and what is the least important? What is like the high priority? Like, what is urgent? So these are the things that you want to categorize in your task, whether it's a project, big or small, or just those mundane tasks that you really don't want to do. And those are the tasks that you can basically delegate. We want to also, we talked about the time order assistant. You can use a simple spreadsheet to list out all the things and tasks or projects that you are currently working on so that you have time to be able to have time to work on certain things by characterizing those items and then organizing it. And then also, that's what we call audit. That's why we have that time audit assistant, so that it can organize it and it's nicely well created in a way that is organized, where you don't have to do much but put in the task and then the time, and it automatically calculates how much time you are spending with that.
Yes. So Tequa and I ended up staying up till 3 a.m. one day when we got the idea for the task audit. So we had a potential client that we had an interview with, and they wanted to know, they definitely needed help, but they didn't know where to start and wanted to know, like, do we have a way to help them organize that and figure that out? And so we saw that as an opportunity, and we said, you know what, this could be useful to many business owners out there, people that are navigating their business solo and they really want to get ready to take action, but they don't know where to start. And in the end, that helps us as the virtual assistants, as business support service providers. It helps us really know where to get started and help them in the best way that we can when the business owner knows what they're delegating in the first place. And so we decided we could help our clients and our potential clients. And we decided we wanted to make it a free resource for any business owner out there, because everybody needs to know where to start, right? So we stayed up till 3 a.m. one day making this spreadsheet, and we realized it is a super useful tool. And taking that time and setting that time aside to really do that task audit and figure out where you're spending your time, what it is that you are doing, what you should not be doing, and what you could stand to delegate, the things that you love to do, the things that you don't love to do, and really figure out, like, what is it that you really want to focus on in your business? And if you're not ready to get there, how can you get there? And those are going to be the next steps that we're talking about today, which is really taking that task audit that you do, whether it be on your own, using our free resource, or just writing it down on a checklist, and just taking that time to figure out those things and what are the steps that you can take following that.
Exactly. Yes. 3 a.m. Lord have mercy. But I'm pretty sure that our fellow entrepreneurs out there can relate to those 3 a.m. staying up working, and then also working on our clients' stuff as well, client business. So the next thing, the next step that you need to take is prioritize your tasks. Review your task list and identify what are high priority activities directly related to achieving your business goals, because that's ultimately what we want to do. We want to achieve those business goals. And if we're not taking the time out to figure out what is urgent and what is least urgent, then we're going to be stuck in the rut, and we're just going to be going around in a, what do you call it, the hamster in the wheel, just keep going around. And we don't want to do that. We want to be organized. We want to be efficient and also meeting our business goals. And I know that for us at Power Pro, we have really struggled with that in the past, but we was very intentional about it this year, where we was like, we need to really identify what our business goals are and be intentional about it, and then write down what was high priority and what was least priority. And it has been working. That's why I said you have to put the work in order for you to receive the results.
Yes. Do the work now so that you don't have to do all the work later.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. It saves so much time. So also I want you to consider the tasks that only you can do versus what you could delegate to others. There, we talked about this in our past podcast about giving up that control. So identify what is the things that you want to do. And ultimately, it's the things that you are good at. It's like, this is where I want to stay. I want to stay in my zone of genius. I don't want to have to worry about everything else. So taking what you did with the time audit and identifying all these things that I don't want to do, these are the things that I want to delegate to others. So then finding the key team members that you need to have those skill sets to be able to do those things. So for example, we know that administrative stuff take about 40% of our time as business owner, because you cannot do a business without doing an administrative task. That takes up a lot of our time. So delegating that to someone who is an expert, executive assistant, a virtual assistant, a freelancer who is skilled in those things, where it's not going to take up a lot of time because they have processes that they do in order to get the job done. That is not your zone. That is not your genius. So this is where we talk about what the tasks that you can do versus the tasks that you can delegate to others. Then the third thing is focus on tasks that align with your core competencies and then also provide the most value to your business. So those are the three things when we talk about prioritizing your tasks that are very important. These are key, crucial things that you should be doing in your business.
So when focusing on tasks that align with the core competencies, like Tequa was talking about, it really helps you decide what it is that you dedicate most time to. What are the skills that you have that you're best at? It makes you an expert in it. So it's going to take you less time than it would someone that is not skilled in it. So stay with the areas that you're skilled in, or plan to hire an expert that is skilled in that area while you're preparing more mundane tasks to delegate, so that it is just taking it off your plate and that it's quicker. But really highlighting on those skilled tasks, something that is going to save time versus delegating it, you know, you're really able to weigh out those tasks by prioritizing them like that.
So going into the next step is documenting processes. So I just want to tell you a little story before this, before I even get into the steps. When we document, this was ingrained in my head as an executive assistant, okay? And you don't have to be a business owner to write down a process. So as being in the administrative industry and growing in that career, so now I'm a senior executive assistant, so this is just a breeze to me right now. I have a lot of documentations that I write, that I have, that are step by step, that I can transfer over to whoever steps into my seat whenever I decide to retire. So documenting is something that my supervisor ingrained in my head. When we used to talk about my career and me advancing in the career and me becoming a supervisor, she always talked about documenting everything. That means documenting everything that you do in your processes, and then also documenting those conversations that you have with your team members, the things that we spoke about, and then following up with them with what was said. So this here, we're talking about something a little bit different, is documenting the instructions for your team members. But also you want to also incorporate those conversations that you had so that everybody is on the same page. So when you select a suitable delegation for outsourcing, you want to document the step-by-step instructions from your business, because everybody's process is, they may have the same system, but your process is different from, and it varies from industry to industry. And most likely, like say, for example, for event planning, it may be similar, but the process is going to be a little bit different. So even if you do have someone who is skilled in that area, they still need a document, a step-by-step document. And that is called a SOP, which is a standard operating procedure. This is something that you should have in your business, from how to manage your emails to how to manage your calendar. You need that step-by-step process. You may think that, oh, well, I can just hire an admin and they can just figure it out. That is not the case, because your business is tailored to you, your industry, and the way you do things than what your virtual assistant or whoever you hire in your business. You have to document that step-by-step. You also have to include the relevant details, such as the methods that you prefer, right? The tools that you use in your business. Not everybody uses the same tools that you do. It may be similar tools, but it works a little bit different. And then what are the expected outcomes? Everyone writes a process, but no one really tells you what the outcome, like what is the expected outcome from this? This is one thing that I learned as being a supervisor and working in a corporate industry. It's like, you can't just be doing a job without knowing the outcome and the details of the work that you're doing. You have to love what you're doing and then want to know, even though it's not relevant to your job, but it may somehow impact you in some way by knowing the industry, by knowing what is the objective and your goals and the vision of the business. This is something that you should want to instill into your team members, whether they are an employee or if they are a freelancer, virtual assistant, an independent contract, it does not matter. This is something that you should be also delivering to the person who is assigned to the step by assigned to that task or project. The third thing is ensure clarity and simplicity in your instructions to minimize confusion for those executing the task. So what does that mean? It means test it out, right? Get a friend, another business partner that you have, or someone that you collaborate with on projects, and give them that step-by-step instructions and have them go through the process and see if they're confused or they don't understand something, or they may even suggest some things in that step-by-step guidance that you have provided. Because if you don't test it and you give it to someone and the person may look at it and interpret it in a different way than what you intended on it to be, if that makes sense.
Yes, everybody learns differently. So a few tips on that would be, you know, some people learn by reading the step-by-step guide. Some people learn best, like for me, for example, a video recording of someone walking through the process. The best way that we find with our team is we do a video recording, and then anybody can create the step-by-step guide, document the process, or in other words, the SOP. They can create it based off of that video recording. So you now have audio, visual, and written. And so whoever accesses that document has multiple ways that they can refer to the material, because everybody learns differently and retains information differently. And then another thing would be to hyperlink any relevant resources within the document and to leave it as a live document. Not necessarily save it as a PDF, but keep it in your cloud storage that is a live document that can be updated at any time for if someone does walk through it and has a couple of clarifying questions that you can add to it or edit to fit so that it has more information in it. If a step changes at any point in time, to go in and update that step. And so those are a couple of tips that I have on that, because everyone learns differently and you want everything to be linked there that needs to be accessed for that whole process, just to avoid any confusion and to offer as much clarity and make it as comprehensive as possible.
Yes. Thank you, Casey, on that, because yes, everybody does learn differently. And just like you, video works for me. That's all I can say. I love video. Although the step-by-step in the chart, the flow chart, it works as well. But also through that flow chart, having like those little details, like a link to a little bit more details to that flow chart.
I hyperlink everything, all of it. Put it everywhere, link it everywhere, put it everywhere.
Exactly. So no one can never say that they don't have all the information. You want to make sure that you put all the information that is needed for that. That doesn't mean that they still don't need some training. Okay. You can't just give somebody a document and expect them to just say, okay, here, this is the document. Just do what you got to do. There is still have to be some kind of face-to-face when you're first hiring someone so that they can get to know you, your process. And it also, it's more accountability as well for the other person, ensuring that there is accountability and some check-in during the process. All right. So now moving on to the next thing is identifying delegation opportunities. So I'm going to leave this to Casey to kick this one off, and then we'll go into setting goals, setting delegation goals.
All right. So number one of identifying delegation opportunities is to assess tasks that could be delegated to freelancers, virtual assistants, or automation tools. So this goes pretty deep, depending on how deep we want to go today. I'm sure we will get into this in future topics, so I'll be brief. you want to find someone whenever you're doing that task audit. We were talking about how to identify those areas that you either love doing or you really don't love doing. And so hiring experts to take over those tasks for you, whether it be administrative, operational, marketing, finance, systems. And speaking of systems, we love automation tools. So we like automation tools because you can automate anything that does not require a manual process. So some tools that would be useful is Zapier, for example. It helps you integrate tools and set triggers and automations. For example, one that I like most is if we get a new lead for our Power Pro, say someone books a call, books an interview with us, Zapier triggers it to automatically be uploaded in ClickUp. And ClickUp is a project management tool that we use and how we manage and track and report all of our task information. And so when Zapier automatically adds it to ClickUp, it automatically adds a checklist of all the things that we need to do when that lead comes in, all the manual things that need reminders, or it lets us know that the automation was completed, of what's been done, what needs to be done. And so automating everything that you can in your business is a game changer. And then that helps you really focus on the things that you need to be focused on versus all the tedious things that are taking up all of your time from growing your business. And number two, we look for repetitive or time-consuming tasks that don't require our unique expertise. So right along with the topic here, any recurring task is where you're going to really document those processes. Any recurring task in your business should have an SOP or standard operating procedure document. And that gives you a step-by-step guide that is being built out and preparing you to delegate it when you're ready to. Either that or just refer back to it when you need clarification. Recurring tasks are, it just helps you keep on track. So really documenting those things and putting them in place and having those reminders really keeps you on track with your goals and making sure that all of the work in your business is getting done. Number three, consider outsourcing the task like administrative work, social media management, or customer support. So for example, one of those recurring tasks would be, say if it fell under social media management, would be the content creation. Say you are a speaker, or for example, I'll just use the podcast as example. If we do one podcast every month and we are going to repurpose the content for the remaining of the month, we can have an SOP on what our preferences are, what templates to use, what tools to use, and do video recordings of everything that we want, the objective, the end result that we're wanting from our content creation. We're able to delegate that to someone that is an expert in content creation or social media management, and they can come to us for any clarifying questions. And so like Tequa mentioned, if there still needs to be a face-to-face, so if somebody has clarifying questions or somebody needs help with something or they need to get on a call to walk through some things, we are fully available for that. But that is a recurring task that they have all of our preferences and all of the guidelines to at least do the drafts and everything for our approval. And so really documenting those repetitive tasks and hiring experts to do that is a game changer and takes so much time out of your day to focus on the things that really moves your business forward.
Casey, I love you talked about the recurring tasks and using the social media as an example. This is for anything in our tasks. Even if you're working with an assistant, either whether you're setting up the recurring tasks or if you outsourcing to a virtual assistant, they should be setting up these things as well, recurring, using templates and like when you send out an email. So for example, like one of our clients, when we do the customer service, once we did that first contact with the telephone and then following up with an email. So having those templates ready for whatever communication that you have via phone call, whether it's the pricing or they're ready to book and then having a link for them to do their deposit, to hold their dates or whatever. These are all the things that needs to be documented for that process, for you to identify what it is, the things that you need to outsource, because maybe it's not the whole process that needs to be outsourced. Like with one of our other clients, they just want us to be the first means of contact within the hour. And then after that, they do the rest of the work. So it depends on what your style is and how much you want to be involved in the process, or if you just want to delegate that whole process to a team member, whether it's administrative work, social media, or just that customer support that you want to delegate to outsource from your business. But these are some of the things that we do here, and we do a great job with setting up those step-by-step guidance so that we can delegate to our support staff. So the way our structure is, we have it really tailored to the needs of our clients, making sure that they get that face-to-face with our executive assistants. And then we have our support staff that are taking care of more of the mundane tasks, giving the assistants more time to focus on the client. So that is the way we structure our business, and then having those documented, like I said, document, because those things are going to save you time. And again, just going back to the beginning, it's going to take some time to set it up, but it's going to be worth it after you have set up all your templates and everything that you need to prepare for a new team member. If this is your first time ever hiring a team member, you're going to be well prepared if you are using the tips that we are talking about today on this podcast. So moving on to set delegation goals. When we talk about setting those delegation goals, we have goals for everything. We have goals for our business. We have goals for our personal life, but you should be setting goals to have a clear, defined delegation goal, such as reducing your workload by certain percentage or freeing up a specific number of hours per week. And we all know as business owners, we can use 5 hours a week of free time to do anything. So just quoting with one of our clients said that she felt so good that she was able to first time, I don't know how many years that she haven't took vacation.
I think it was three.
In 3 years that she can take 2 weeks vacation without having to worry about her social media or the things that's her daily operations of her business. That speaks volume. Okay. It speaks volume how you using the delegation tools and preparing yourself to hire that first person, whether your goal is to go on vacation or spend time with your kid, or I need some time to read some books, you know, whatever that may be, you have to set up your delegation goals. And then the second thing is also establish the measurable metrics to track your goal, right? You want to track your progress of the delegation. Is it working? Is it really freeing up my time? How much time am I being freed up? And it can be a number of tasks that's delegated or the time saved through delegation. Everybody's goals are different. And I know for me, you know, it's time. I just need time that I want to sit down and just veg out and just watch some TV. And that would be my self-care. The third thing is break down your delegation goals into manageable milestones to keep yourself motivated and focused. If you don't break it down, that's just like breaking down your task of a big project. You're not going to be able, like if you have a project for a client and it takes 6 to 8 weeks, you're not going to be able to do everything within, say, for example, 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You need that 6 to 8 weeks to kind of break down what needs to happen first before you start working towards completing the project. So it's the same thing as your delegation goals. You have to make it manageable for you to also keep motivated, keep your team member motivated, and then also so that you can stay focused on your goals in your business as well.
Yeah, I think a good example for that would be email and calendar management being a starting point. If you can get someone to help you with the administrative tasks that are delegatable, that are repetitive, if you can get someone to start there, with the intention that you're wanting to grow as you're reaching these delegation goals that you have set. This person is in your business learning about your business, learning how you work, learning your preferences, learning about how you communicate with your clients or customers, and really getting a feel for the business. Say, because that person has freed up some of your time, you were able to focus on marketing, for example, and you were able to bring in more leads, which gives you a larger budget to reach those, that next delegation goal, then the first thing I would think of would be to have that person already in the email and calendar doing the lead management. So if you have a lead come in, getting them booked, sending the first pieces of communication, all of those repetitive things, following that process that you've built out, and then say all of that pays off and your next delegation goal would be to delegate some of the marketing so that they can continue to bring in the leads that they are then being the first point of contact for and handling the process that your leads go through. And then you've started delegating, then you've gone out of administration to multiple departments, and then you're getting business support. You're getting operational support for your business to help you focus on growing the business or just taking time off. And so that would be a good example of how to start from where you can at the moment and then grow into where you're wanting to go.
As we end this episode, how can we help you? Well, you can start by attending our workshop. You can join our upcoming delegation workshop where you'll learn advanced strategies for effective delegation and also receive personalized guidance on implementing delegation techniques tailored to your business needs.
Everything we talked about on the podcast today, we will be highlighting and working with you on in our upcoming workshop. So we will have a delegation toolkit that you'll get access to, and it will offer you our time audit assistant, our SOP guide on how to build out and document those processes. We'll help you prioritize those tasks, identify the delegation opportunities. What are the things that you're wanting to outsource? What is taking up your time? What do you need an expert in? What is taking up all of your time? And we'll also be able to talk it out and help you set those delegation goals. Where are you at in your business today, and where do you want to be in a few months? And so we will be walking through all of the things that we talked about today on how to take action, and we can walk right alongside you while you do that.
And then also accessing those resources through the workshop, where you'll gain access to the materials, including the templates, guidelines, checklists, all those things to help you that is designed to streamline the delegation process so that ensures success every step of the way. And who doesn't want accountability and support? I know that I have a team, right? That keeps me accountable every single day. And the support is, oh my God, it's beautiful. So the benefits from ongoing support and accountability from our community of entrepreneurs committed to mastering the delegation. So you receive those regular check-ins and feedbacks and encouragement to stay track on your delegation goal through our membership as well. We hope that this podcast has provided some clear direction and some step-by-step guidance on effective delegation. This was, that is our top goal, is to meet that so that you are provided these step-by-step guidance. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us on any platform and we will definitely get back to you.
So as you navigate your business journey solo, go back and listen to our first two podcast episodes, along with this one, as we highlighted this quarter's focus of the importance of delegation, from realizing that you need it, realizing that releasing control is helping you gain control, and then this one to help you take action. And through all of that, remember that delegation is not about relinquishing control, but empowering yourself to focus on what truly matters. Thank you to our fellow chaos coordinators for tuning in to an episode of Chaos to Control with the PowerPro Assistance team. We look forward to sharing more insights and strategies with you in our future episodes. Until then, stay inspired, stay motivated, and stay in control, one strategy at a time.